The News from Lake Wobegon podcast is supported by Cheerios. As part of a heart-healthy diet, the oats in Cheerios can help naturally lower cholesterol. Cheerios, good for the heart.
Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, my hometown. Out there on the edge of the prairie. We had about 3 days of summer this week and about 3 days of fall. And last night and today turned out to be cold and rainy, which makes just about everybody in my town more cheerful. A warm, sunny day leaves you almost no alternative but to like it, and so, of course, that makes you despise it and resent it. But a cold, rainy day leaves you freedom, and we like it that way. The sophomore class, Lake Wobegon High School, headed down to the cities on a big school bus on Tuesday of this week, which was a beautiful, bright day. All these quiet children came down for a tour of the zoo, and they went to the farm campus of the university. Judy Inkvist was along as a chaperone, and Marilyn Headland as well. They sat up near the front of the bus, where chaperones should sit with your backs to the children. Judy Inkvist led a bloody battle about 3 years ago with the school board trying to get them to pay parents to chaperone these trips, and she lost. So she's felt obliged to volunteer ever since to do this. And also, she thought she might get some material from it for a poem. There's a poetry contest in Lutheran Backstage, the magazine for wives of Lutheran pastors. There's a poetry contest, and the first prize is $500. And Judy Inkvist thinks they could use that money to take a trip in January to Hawaii, where they really would love to go. She sat there in the front seat with a pad of paper on her lap. But she couldn't write because she was too angry about all of these quiet, quiet children sitting behind her who seemed so absorbed in their little private world, many of them with private sound systems clamped onto their heads back there. The teachers were sitting right behind her and Marilyn, and they weren't much better than the students, Mr. Bannister and Miss O'Neill. Mr. Bannister had said to Judy at the zoo, he said, "This is certainly a well-behaved group." She looked at him. She said, "Cowed, I think, is the word." Judy's daughter, Judy and David's youngest daughter, Catherine, Kate, is a sophomore. She was on the trip, and they've been worried about her lately. She seems to have changed. She's tall, she's blonde, she inherited her father's looks. She's becoming very, very lovely at the age of 16. But in about the last 6 months, her grades have gone down. She's decided to quit the soccer team. And a couple of weeks ago, she begged her parents to let her cash in a savings bond so that she could send away for a baby blue Angora sweater. It had to be a certain kind, from a mail-order company in Los Angeles. It cost $285. Judy remembers these fuzzy Angora sweaters. She remembers them from high school as having been worn by the dumbest girls that she knew. But Kate begged to have one. She absolutely had to have one because she had been elected to membership in the most exclusive group in Lake Wobegon High School. It's a girls' sorority called the Do-Rights. There are only 12 of them, and they elect the new pledges each fall, and Kate was the only sophomore chosen to be a part of this group. "What do they do?" asked Judy. "Well, they do a lot of things," said Kate, "but actually, they do one thing. The Do-Rights. They rehearse all year for the spring all-school talent show when they come out in their short black skirts and their black stockings and their high-heeled pumps and their baby blue Angora sweaters. And they sing two songs. They sing to know, know, know him is to love, love, love him, and I do. And they sing da-do-ron-ron. They sing it so perfectly and do all of the moves so perfectly and with such precision that it makes everyone in the audience gasp. They are always perfect every year. Well, for Judy, a born feminist, this was a living horror. You raise a daughter to be another Gloria Steinem, another Carol Bly, and she turns out to be Sandra Dee. It's dispiriting. Day after day, night after night, they could hear her stocking feet in the bedroom upstairs, patiently going through the moves of da-do-don-ron-ron, listening to a tape over and over, over and over. Judy said to David, she said, "This is driving me crazy. She used to be smart. She used to be interested in things." He said, "Well, you don't like to know, know, know him as to love, love, love him?" "Look," she said, this is like girls applying for admission to prison. This is like a boot camp for bimbos here. We can't." "Well," he said, "it'll pass." "Yes," she said, "that's what people used to say about typhoid, too." "She's a good child, Kate. She grew up there in the house of Lutheran pastor and his wife, and the children of Lutheran pastors have many advantages. They get to see real life up close, so they don't have as many illusions as other people. They see people, strangers, weeping strangers, blissful strangers, come into their living rooms. A Lutheran pastor's child sees people come to the door who are overwhelmed by life. Everything has broken down and gone to pieces for them, and there is no pleasure and no humor anymore. Life is just hellishly mean and black and awful. And you know, Lutherans are such stoics. They never would knock at the pastor's door until they were just on the verge of reaching for a shotgun. A Lutheran pastor's child has opened the door and seen these strangers there with hollow eyes and empty voices come in and sit down. A Lutheran child has sat in a living room and watched the parade of ordinary human suffering go by day after day. Someone's dear father dies, someone's beloved mother dies, and the children and the relatives come, and a Lutheran pastor's child sits in their midst and watches them weep, the women weeping so beautifully, the men sitting there holding it in as if they were sick to their stomachs, and then erupting into barks, like someone just learning to play the trombone. A Lutheran pastor's child sits and watches all of this and learns at an early age that this is ordinary. This is a part of life. And all you can do for these people is to hold out a hand and to speak. It almost doesn't matter what you say. You simply are there. And if possible, you bring a hot dish. This is Lutheran psychology. There's only so much you can do, and you have to try to do it. Kate came home from school, and she found her mother in the kitchen. She said, "I've decided to change my name to Kathy." Her mother didn't look at her. "Oh," she said. "I just think it's a nicer name," said Kate. Broke her mother's heart, but her mother bit her lip and didn't say anything.
Kathy's an okay name, but why would a girl who could be a Kate not want to be a Kate? She didn't understand it. She sat in the bus as they rode back home, and the sun was about to go down, coming back from this silent trip to the big city. She thought, it's all my fault. I've been too forward. I've been too pushy. And I haven't given my daughter the comfort that she needed. And so she's had to go look for comfort with this horrible group of precision fanatics. Then she thought, no, I haven't been forceful enough. I haven't been pushy enough. We've let these children drift away. We've let them go off to sleep and sleepwalk through their young lives. We've given them hypnotic television, and now we give them the internet, and they drift along on this river of garbage. And the great works of art that our parents thrust on us, the books and the music that were put upon us when we were young, and that changed our lives, and that made us, that threw us into dark waters of feeling and thought, and forced us to swim, and made us feeling, thinking people, we have not pushed on our children. No, we haven't pushed them nearly hard enough. She thought, I ought to shave my head. A biblical thing to do. Sign of grief. And then let other people ask me, why did you do that? And I would tell them. It's because I'm angry. Angry about what's happening to these children. Well, she didn't do that. She stood up on the bus. She stood up and she leaned down over the bus driver and she said, do you mind stopping up at the top of that hill up there? No, he said, that's fine. So he stopped. She stood up and she turned around. She said, this has been such a fine day with all of you. There's so much energy and curiosity in this group. I just have to say that it's been a real pleasure for me. And I thought we should stop here for a moment to think about all of the things that we've seen today. The city and all of the people and all of the animals that we saw today. What a privilege. What a privilege, she said. And now here we are driving home on the most beautiful day of the year. The trees are turning, and the amber waves of cornfields and the spacious skies. She said, I want to recite a poem for you. She looked back to where her daughter was sitting. Her daughter was looking at the floor. Some of the children seemed embarrassed. Some of them still had their headphones on. Other children seemed interested. And she recited a poem. Loveliest of trees, the maple now is blazing orange on the bough. It stands along the road to town, a sunburst in a world of brown. Now of my 60 years and 10, 16 will not come again. And since to one who is 16, the earth is wondrous to be seen, I'll go along the road to town and see the blaze among the brown. And she sat down, and the bus drove on. The bus driver shook her hand when she got off. He had tears in his eyes. That meant so much to me, he said. And then she smelled his breath. The man was drunk.
Well, you do what you can. There's only so much you can do. You do what you can. You say what you have to say. And all you can do is offer people a hand and offer people a voice and let them know you're there. That's the Lutheran philosophy. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average.
The News from Lake Wobegon podcast is supported by Cheerios. As part of a heart-healthy diet, the oats in Cheerios can help naturally lower cholesterol. Cheerios, good for the heart.